Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to The Scraps.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Oh my God. You're right though. Like
if that happened to the Detroit Lions in a playoff game, none of you would let us sleep.
No.
You would be wanting 24-hour, like, it's fun to laugh at them right now, but just know that if it happened to you guys would be raising hell. You'd be raising so much hell just because that ump has to touch the ball. And that's actually on the center for getting in the ump's way.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, obviously Lions fans would add this to their long laundry list of times we got screwed by the refs. And when it comes down to it, this was 99.9% on the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
99% either on Dak Prescott for calling his own play or Dak Prescott for
Kellen Moore.
I don't know who called the play, whether it was probably Kellen Moore. Is that the first question now you ask Kellen Moore in all these head coaching interviews? Just
why did he run the ball?
Why?
You know what you do if you're Kellen Moore? You blame that all on Dak. You're like, yeah, Dak freelanced that one. You say that and you stick with it.
Just throw your player under the bus.
And you pay off Dak. And it's like, look, don't say anything. Because this has been another bad weekend for officiating, because I know Raiders fans have been trying to turn that that bad call with the Bengals with Joe Burrow the whistle.
Yeah, Joe Burrow threw a touchdown. It was blown dead by a whistle, but then refs just apparently pretended like the whistle never happened.
Right.
The actual explanation they gave was that the whistle came after the touchdown catch, which very clearly did not happen.
Yeah. So I just don't want to hear. Yeah. Sorry. Go on, Ryan.
I was going to say, there's one thing that I noticed, like when NBC played the replays, eventually they doctored the whistle because the whistle was not that late. I tinfoil hats in the chat right now, but I'm serious. Like when they did replays, they had the whistle lined up like right as Tyler Boyd caught the pass. All of the players had quit playing by then. And why would the whistle be that late? Like Joe Burrow, the whistle sucks, right? Because the play should have happened because Burrow was in bounds by what? A foot?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't even close. But I'm serious. On the NBC replays, the weird thing is they don't talk about it for like 15 minutes, right?
Right, right. And then they probably see like everyone on Twitter is going fucking nuts and they're like, okay, oh, we probably should talk about this.
Tom Pelissero is on Twitter saying like the rule is this. NFL, he already talking to the NFL about how they're not going to make a statement about it until after the game. And then NBC starts playing replays and making it seem like it's a bang, bang, like whistle and then the catch. Like, absolutely not. The whistle happened way earlier when I was watching it live.
You know what this is? This is the continued coddling of the Raiders, their fans, and that whole team. Because Derek Carr sucks, all right? Derek Carr does not get any kind of criticism that he should. I'm not saying he's bad, but like
you replace him with suck.
I'm saying if you replace
him, saying he's bad.
No. I'm saying he sucks in the sense that like, look, if we replaced him with Matthew, if we took his stats and replaced it with Matthew Stafford, how much hell would he be catching? And here's the thing, and this is the important thing about that phantom whistle, Ryan. That was in the first half. There was a lot of bad calls in that game. And by the way, the Raiders were the recipient of the most ticky-tack fucking roughing the passer call I've ever seen on the final drive. And what does so they get a gift late? And what does Derek Carr do with that gift? What does Derek Carr do with that gift? He throws a pass short of the goal line into double coverage. And now Raiders fans want to whine about a phantom whistle in the first half. We've had a lot of practice looking at tape, folks. A lot of practice.
What a weekend for the refs.
We've seen footage.
But to be fair, that rate, like you can say whatever you will about the Cowboys game. I think I don't think the refs had an impact on the game in terms of like,
oh no,
I think a good officiating crew, Dallas still would have lost. Mike probably same with the Raiders game, but like the Mike Carey crew, that's who it was, right?
Yeah, who've already been told they're not officiating the rest of these playoffs.
Jerome Boger, wasn't it?
Oh, you're right. It was
Boger. It was Boger, and I'm pretty sure I saw today that they've been told by the league you're not officiating anymore these playoffs. because that was in the middle or the start of like almost 3 minutes of straight every play is getting whistled.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so bad. And yeah, and it keeps bringing up the same weird point that they mix up the crews for playoffs. Why do they do that?
I don't know, man.
Like, you have to imagine chemistry amongst an officiating crew is essential. Honestly, like, it's super important. You have to be able to trust all the people around you to make they're looking in the right spot, you're looking in the right spot, and you have to, I have to imagine, you develop a kind of chemistry between these guys.
Yeah, like, you think that's why, like, are they mixing up crews nonstop now? Is that why all the officiating this year has sucked ass?
Well, they mix up crews for the playoffs because they get the best guys in each position. And I also saw someone make an interesting point that I hadn't thought of, which is you put in the seventh team. Now you have an extra team. Now you have six games you have to pull officiating crews from, which means you have to pull at least one more crew that wouldn't have made it last time.
All right, Jay Markle has redeemed a impromptu list cast. List of 2021 pleasant surprises. I intended that list about football stuff, Detroit or otherwise.
Okay. Top five-ish pleasant surprises. I'll stick with Lions football. I don't have them yet, though. I was reading.
I can do that.
Subscriptions. Okay.
Well, I think one. I don't have this. The problem is I don't have an order for these. I would say one pleasant surprise is that the Chiefs got it back on track. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of terrified for a while that this was going to be this year that like the Chiefs just completely fall apart when we started to see them like really struggling down the stretch. And like, look, it's the wild card game is going on right now. And it is the Packers, and Ben just way overthrew someone on 3rd and 13. But what
you said, Packers,
but that's you said okay. Packers.
I'm sorry. But yeah, no, like having the Chiefs back and looking really good is,
it's good for the NFL.
I love it.
Patrick Mahomes playing crazy good football is fun, even though it looks like
he's having an
interception tonight. Yeah. Sorry.
Why'd you do that?
I think I might be able to rattle off all five Lions related.
Okay.
And
go for it.
Yeah, I think Imani Oruwariye, I'll have him be my number five. I halfway through the season when he had all those interceptions, I was on here saying he wasn't that good. That dude finished strong before his injury. And so now I got a little faith. I still don't think he's going to be a corner one, but I feel like I could get to a point where I'm pretty confident in him as a CB2. And that's a good thing.
I think number one on my list, since we're talking Lions, is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I don't know how much of a surprise that was. Yeah, you couldn't be a surprise to you. You were the dude banging the table on draft day.
But I'm the slappy. But like everyone else is like, the problem is I listen to other people. They make me doubt myself. And everyone I listen to is like, yeah, he's a good corner. He's a good slot receiver. I didn't think Amon-Ra would be this, by the way.
Yeah. My two is Dan Campbell being super aggressive. I thought the book was written on him
there.
That he was just a guy who was going to be super old school, play time of possession, run the ball a ton, and not go for it, not you know, take in analytics, all that sort of stuff. So that was a huge surprise. And my number one is also Dan Campbell related, and that is Dan Campbell emerging as a decent play caller. I mean, how many times did Dan Campbell get called the meathead? And how many times did we question his X's and O's capability and said, this is just a culture hire. This is just a guy who's going to rah-rah. He's just going to be a leader type. He's going to, you know, galvanize the locker room, but he has to hire the smart people around him. I'm guilty of saying that. I kind of thought that's what that hire was. And he's now taken over the offense and done a pretty damn good job. And is it sustainable? We'll see. Eight games isn't a huge sample size, but a damn pleasant surprise for that second half of the season. So I guess I'll just do an abbreviated three list version, and those are my three.
If I were to throw three to the hopper, I kind of want to say three that you haven't done, Jeremy. So
go for it.
One of them I would say would be, you know, Jerry Jacobs. I know, sure, a lot of people are pretty high on a guy who's an undrafted free agent who came in and made as big of an impact as he did. So, I mean, I think you can maybe expand that to like the entire secondary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you talk about Oruwariye, but you talk about some of the contributions that they got from different players and
AJ Parker.
So I guess like maybe Aubrey Pleasant as a pleasant surprise to fold in with that one, but Jerry Jacobs specifically as a player. The one other one that I want to toss in is Jared Goff over the last month and a half of the season.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I mean, could we have possibly been lower on that guy heading into December? Like, I think we were all here, and it swayed our opinion to the point where, like, we came off of the idea of, like, this guy is not an NFL quarterback. Like, this can't be it. Like, how did this guy get by for so long in Los Angeles playing this way? Because it's bad. And
he was buried. We buried Jared Goff's Lions career.
Yes,
2 months ago. 2 months ago, it was over. Maybe one month ago.
And like, it's been resuscitated to the point where like I've come around to just like accepting, like, okay, like I'll be fine with another year of Jared Goff.
Right.
I thought by now I'd be like hijacking the podcast and being like deep dives on every quarterback.
Oh yeah, you had circled Malik Willis, and like this week, the coming weeks in particular, we would not be able to get you to talk about anything else.
Yeah, and now I'm like, you know, if he's around for the Rams pick, if he's not their guy, they can pass on him.
We haven't hit one other losing team from this weekend though. I know, Ryan, you wanted to call them out at some point. Do you want to talk about our former Boston boy and the god awful defense that was?
Oh god. I was on one last night.
I was sad that I checked and you had deleted the thing I had tweeted. I mean, I had quote tweeted.
Yeah, that one thing just felt especially personal.
Well, it's deserved to be personal.
But I felt fine with holding up the one tweet. It got like 1400 likes or something like that, but it was just like, I hope Matt Patricia never had success again as a football coach. But you know, the funny thing is my wife knows nothing. Like, okay, rephrase that. My wife doesn't care about football. So she doesn't really know a whole lot about specifics. But like, I told her that like I had a tweet that had like a bunch of likes when I woke up this morning. And I was like, oh yeah, I tweeted that.
Because everyone understands engagement numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Amanda, like I mentioned Matt Patricia, and even Amanda was like, isn't he that piece of shit?
Wait, are you saying one of your Matt Patricia tweets got 1600 likes?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ryan does numbers. Ryan gets numbers, but he's not verified.
I don't want to be verified anymore. I've given up on that dream. But no, the tweet has 1900 likes now. I love rooting against Matt Patricia. I hope he never finds success again as a football coach.
Could you imagine?
Jesus Christ.
Could you imagine? You realize when Bill Belichick, like, I don't know if you guys seen Succession yet.
Yes.
But when Bill Belichick retires, or is forced to retire, that Patriot, like, to get that Patriots throne, that is Succession. That is like football guy Succession. I want to write the book right now based on it, because I know what's going to happen, because Matt Patricia has staked his everything to come back there, because he thinks he's, you know, he's taken on all this draft sucks. He thinks he'll be the one to take over. He'll be the one to take over, and he can be the tough guy, and he can be appreciated up there because it's his system. Josh McDaniels blew up the Colts job because he was promised the throne. He was promised the throne. Josh McDaniels thinks he's going to get it. He blew up his entire reputation in the NFL. There's nowhere else for him to go but New England. Bill O'Brien is still out there at Alabama, thinking that like, hey, I'll get rehired one day. I'll come back. He was totally ready to crown me, right? And what's going to happen is Bill Belichick is just going to give it to Steve Belichick.
Yeah, give it to his son.
And then the knives are out at that point.
That'd be ridiculous.
Like that is I'm saying that's football succession right there. I can't wait.
And what a unique situation though, because it would be the head coach on the way out choosing who his like successor yes. is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where did that ever happen?
Nowhere else. Because he's probably moving to like a front office president role on his way out or something.
Probably because Bill knows way too much about Robert Kraft.
Yes, that's the other part of this gumbo too, is that he's got the pictures from Lotus of Asia.
Yeah. Oh, poor
dude! I want to write this book now. I want to write this.
Did you almost say poor Patriot fans?
No, I almost said something maybe even worse. I almost said poor Josh McDaniels.
No.
That was The Scraps.